This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusa, in for Anthony Brooks. Well, with about 5 months to go until the New Hampshire primary, it's anyone's guess as to which candidate Republicans there will choose to face President Obama in next year's general election. But tomorrow, Republicans in the Granite State will hold a proxy vote of sorts on the future of the party.
They'll be voting on who should lead the New Hampshire GOP. And they'll most likely be removing the man who currently holds that post, Jack Kimball. Kimball won the office back in January, despite having relatively little experience in politics. What he did have was strong support from Tea Party activists who liked his anti-Washington message. Here's Kimball shortly after his January win.
We are in a war, and we are going to win it. We're going to go after the Democrats the entire time and put all of us in office this time around.
But now, following months of complaints from establishment Republicans, Kimball could be on the way out. They say that he's failed both as a fundraiser and as a politician. The New Hampshire GOP, after all, has lost two special elections in the state since Kimball took over. Joining us now is the man who knows everything about New Hampshire politics, WMUR political director James Pindle. James, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Give us a little bit more of the backstory here. What's your sense of this guy, Jack Kimball, and why he's become such a controversial figure in the New Hampshire GOP?
Jack Kimball is the pure definition of what you would think a Tea Party person is. He's a total newcomer. He'd only really gotten into politics just 2 years ago. Then decided to run for governor because he came out of that Tea Party movement, was a major leader with it, very passionate speaker. He has no idea how to run for governor. He raises little money, has to lay off his staff at the beginning because he couldn't pay him, and then gets pretty soundly defeated in the Republican primary, but then emerges to become a candidate to take over the chair position, and has really, because he took on the establishment choice, he barely won the election, he was never going to get any benefit of the doubt. So as we talk about the different things he's alleged to have done, they may seem very small and very petty, and in most cases I completely agree, but he won't be given any benefit of the doubt, and there's just been one thing after another that now much of the establishment and much of the leaders in the party just say it's enough.
Well, give us another example of something that establishes Jack Kimball's character.
When he first began in this movement, and first began in politics, he's a simple business guy, pretty successful guy, runs a cleaning business in Portsmouth, started putting up political messages on his business sign, saying
yes.
That, if we're going to bail out banks, then we'll... I'm not going to pay my mortgage. What's the point? He's a guy who has a passionate, small following because he's a very good speaker. And as you heard in his words, he does believe that there is a war going on, that the future of the country is at stake. Let me give a global perspective for a second.
Sure.
What's going on here is really important for New Hampshire, but it's really an internal argument. Those who make this about the New Hampshire primary, I understand this is why we're talking about it, because the primary is just sort of 5 months away, but really three entities have something to do with the New Hampshire primary. They are the Republican National Committee Rules Committee, those who set the parameters and set penalties. Number two are those states who would like to mess with the current calendar that exists. We talk about Arizona or Florida or Michigan, these states that kind of move up to challenge the calendar. And number three is New Hampshire Secretary of State Bill Gardner. Nowhere in that is the Republican chairman of the New Hampshire. It's largely just an echo chamber. He's largely just a cheerleader.
Well, Kimball brought up a good point last week about what his ouster might mean. Here's what he said.
Those who seek to remove me from my duly elected position must recognize that I represent a movement, a political movement, much larger than myself. If I am voted down, it is going to cause a fissure in this party that is going to open a wound that isn't going to heal real soon.
So with that in mind, James Pindle, how much of this do you think is really about Kimball's tenure, and how much would you say is about a vision for the Republican Party?
The complaints, if you want to go down the road, why we're even where we're at now, which is a potential removal vote, which is not... happened in a very, very, very long time, if ever. No one can recall exactly when it happened, when the last one ever occurred. They point to lack of fundraising, which is the job of the chair. They point to the fact that, you're right, he lost two special elections in Republican districts by close to 20 points. They point to the controversial firing recently of the, and the bungled firing of the party's executive director, who has been in politics for a long time and has a lot of friends who want to then, you know, turn it on the chairman. But one of the more important things that happened, this seems so small, I know that, is that during one of those special elections, he was outside the polling place and he signed a petition to create, to put the Libertarian Party on the ballot here. Now, you can say that's his right, you can say that, hey, anyone can get on the ballot, but there is a specific rule within the party, it's a private organization that can do that, which bars him from basically doing that.
Really?
Seeing that it would harm the party. So what we expect to see is, through all those little small complaints, and he's made comments that have been creating a bit of a firestorm throughout the year, all these small complaints have added up. And now the state's U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, both congressmen, the Senate president, the House Speaker, we call those the five families. Mm-hmm. The five families have said it's enough. They want to move and want to remove him. And the other side can try to make a media campaign out of it and say it's really about the establishment kicking out the Tea Party. They can say it's unfair. There isn't due process. These people will make the argument that it's not about such things. It's really about getting it done. And there's one thing that Jack Kimball's defenders can't do is actually defend him. They have to make it about other things.
Well, just in the last couple of seconds that we have here, assuming that Kimball is voted out of office tomorrow, what do you think that would mean for the Republican presidential primary, just in terms of horse race?
Very little. I mean, he's going to get voted out if he gets voted out tomorrow night, and he may resign before we even get to that. But if that happens, he talks about there's being this big fissure in the party. Well, there will be. There already is. And we'll quickly move on to September 11th, and we'll cut, to that, those remembrances. We'll quickly move on to presidential debates. And these candidates are still coming, and it's really having absolutely no impact in the race at all.
James Pindle, political director for WMUR-TV in New Hampshire. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Up next, two Boston researchers on the myth of the superiority of same-sex classrooms and gender-based learning styles. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.